nature's weak, telling you something's wrong.
One of my favorite bands, Spirit. To say it's nature's way is possibly the best takeaway in describing what is going on right now in hospitals. An outbreak of superbugs, or what are more precisely understood as drug-resistant organisms, at the UCLA Medical Center, has infected at least 7 patients, 2 of whom have died. More than 170 others believed to also have been exposed. The infections may have been transmitted through 2 body-probing endoscopes, even though the devices had been sterilized. Antibiotic-resistant bacteria kill at least 23,000 people every year in the United States, infect at least 2 million people annually. Why? Well, you learn that in elementary biology. Bacteria, any organism really, living in a stable environment with a reliable food supply, facing regular cycles of buildup and die-off, will eventually either become extinct or become resistant. This is exactly the situation in hospitals. Persistent growth over many generations in an environment filled with sterilizing chemicals and antibiotics produces bacteria that aren't actually super at all. They are just doing what nature does, evolving and becoming resistant over time. Becoming this.
I remember thinking, she looks bad. This is bad. Something's really, really wrong. They put her on antibiotics. Her blood pressure was dropping. They, you know, were making space in the ICU for her. The next morning, she needed oxygen via mask. They looked at part of her lungs and diagnosed her with pneumonia. I remember sitting there watching the sun come up and thinking, how did she get so sick?
The case of Addie Rarasich was featured in a 2013 Frontline documentary called Hunting the Nightmare Bacteria. As her mother, Tanya, explained to Frontline, her daughter needed a lung transplant in the end and faced years of only partial recovery. Joining us now is Dr. Thomas Frieden, director of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Dr. Frieden, thanks so much for taking time out and joining us today.
Nice to talk with you, John.
So, doctor, let's first of all talk about how concerning the UCLA incident is in this battle between antibiotics and resistant organisms.
The UCLA situation is really the latest example of what we've been talking about for the past several years, a nightmare bacteria, CRE as it's called, really is scary. It's a type of resistance that spreads between many different types of bacteria. It can resist virtually all of our antibiotics, and the fatality rate can be quite high. So it's a very concerning situation, and it's why we've launched something called Detect and Protect, because we think, in fact, we're confident that it is still possible to control these organisms, difficult as they are to treat.
What did it evolve from? Where did it come from, this bacteria?
We have 2 different types of CRE, as it's called, in this country. One of them is mostly homegrown. The other one was first identified in India. Most of the cases in the U.S. are the homegrown variety. But the challenge is that really doesn't matter where they came from. The fact is they're here. And if we don't do a better job controlling them, they'll be not just in hospitals, but in communities. And that's what has us most concerned.
So right now, the reservoir, as epidemiologists call it, is hospitals. But if it should jump into the population, then we really are facing a disaster scenario. Is that overstating it?
No, that's actually quite correct. We're very concerned about this. I will say that about 2 years ago, my top scientists came to me with exactly that concern. They said, we have to sound the alarm. We have to stop this before it gets out. These are organisms that are resistant to virtually every antibiotic that we have. And currently, they're largely associated with procedures like the endoscopy in the UCLA case, or intensive care units where people are very sick and getting lots of antibiotics. And even in those situations, we've been able to control it in several states, and some countries have done a good job of that. But in the U.S. as a whole, it has spread and spread and now is in at least 44 states. The concern is if it gets out into the community, then routine things like a urinary tract infection or a cut could become life-threatening.
That is pretty scary. And it makes me feel like doing a good job is maybe not sufficient, that you've got to either be absolutely perfect or or you're in real, real trouble here. Is it the case that the bacteria may have survived the sterilization procedure in this endoscope? I know they're investigating it. Or that it was just improperly sterilized?
It may not be possible to know for sure. We don't think these bacteria are more hardy. It's not as if they're more likely to survive a sterilization procedure. But some of the duodenoscopes that are used are very intricate. So it may be quite difficult to get in and clean all of them. And that may be one of the things. But more broadly, what we know about this type of bacteria is that there are things we can do to stop it. We've seen outbreaks controlled in Colorado, in Florida. We've seen the rate of this infection go down in Israel and elsewhere. And that's done by a few key things. Tracking it so we know where it's spreading. Preventing antibiotic resistance by improving the way we use antibiotics and improving prescribing practices, and then making sure that when we do find patients who have this, we protect them and other patients by isolating them and having specific rooms and equipment and staff for patients with those infections, and doing things like getting catheters out as quickly as possible. Those steps can make a big difference, and in fact, the budget that the administration has proposed to Congress has as our number one priority combating antibiotic-resistant bacteria to improve our ability to fight this. And this is the Los Angeles case is an exact example of what we're concerned about and what we want to scale up our ability to find and stop.
Well, let's talk about this administration program here. As you suggest, last September, President Obama called for $1.2 billion in funds to combat and prevent antibiotic resistance, resistant organisms. And basically what he's doing here is basically funding something that the private sector doesn't have a big incentive to fund, because antibiotics are most powerful if they stay on the shelf, not if they're prescribed. And so you've got to get companies to invest in new antibiotics that aren't necessarily going to make a lot of profit. And some doctors were telling me that this $1.2 billion, if it's approved, could be the most important thing the Obama administration does if we look back 100 years from today. Where does that stand right now?
Well, it's up to Congress. The administration has put in its proposal. For CDC, our request is $264 million, and that would allow us to protect the antibiotics we've got more. We would be sending the vast majority of that to states and large cities to scale up things that work to reduce inappropriate antibiotic use. We think we can actually cut the level of CRE, this nightmare bacteria, by 60% over 5 years, based on what we've done in specific areas when we use this detect and protect strategy.
Now, I want to talk about patients and what they can do, because in many ways this is so rudimentary that patients actually do have a role to play here. But let's talk about designers of medical equipment. You described a moment ago that the endoscopes are very intricate, which suggests to me that while that makes a lot of sense because they are sophisticated technology, maybe designers need to be a little more sensitive to shaping devices to make them easier to clean, to not allow for shapes that will allow bacterial growth.
This is something that the Food and Drug Administration is looking at closely. But we have to step back and remember, these are pretty wonderful pieces of equipment that allow very sick people to avoid having surgery. So what they're doing is really going in through an endoscope and doing a very complex procedure that would otherwise require cutting open someone's abdomen and doing a full surgical procedure. So it's not a simple thing to get that design right, but absolutely it's something that needs to be looked at.
What can patients do if they're going into the hospital? My mother was in intensive care a decade ago at the Mayo Clinic, and even they advised going in that we should be standing outside her door with sterilizing fluids to wash everybody's hand who goes in and out, that it was not sufficient for the nursing staff to simply do that if there were visitors.
We do encourage patients to insist that everyone wash their hands before touching you when you're in the hospital. We also think it's very important for you to tell your doctor, nurse practitioner, if you've been hospitalized in another facility or country, and perhaps most importantly, to take antibiotics only as prescribed and to recognize that, like every medications, antibiotics have both benefits and risks, and only take them when they're absolutely necessary. Our studies suggest that between a third and a half of all of the antibiotics used in this country are either completely unnecessary or inappropriately broad-based.
Oh, this is such a great discussion. Finally, before we go, and, you know, this is something that people really need to pay attention to here if we talk about these hospital-borne infections. Is there an extent to which this can be dealt with by regulation? I was looking at the Joint Commission recommendations on these hospital-borne infections, and there's a lot of recommendations that seem pretty soft. It's okay to just target bacteria in high-risk places. There's not a call for a complete sterilization of a hospital facility or a wing.
We have now recommended from CDC that every single hospital in the country have an antimicrobial stewardship program. These are the programs that make sure that antibiotics are being used well by all of the doctors, nurses, nurse practitioners in the hospital, and that we're tracking where there are resistant organisms and what to do about them. And with this kind of activities, particularly if we get the support we've asked for, we think we will be able to turn back the clock on this nightmare bacteria.
Dr. Thomas Frieden is director of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention in Atlanta. Doctor, thanks so much.
Thank you.
NYC Now delivers breaking news, top headlines, and in-depth coverage from WNYC and Gothamist every morning, midday, and evening. By sponsoring our programming, you'll reach a community of passionate listeners in an uncluttered audio experience. Visit sponsorship.wnyc.org to learn more.